Oh.
Is it recording?
Sure.
All right. Let me explain what's happening over here. Every Tuesday, I say a shiur at the Israel Center. Now, I planned that tonight here, I was going to give a short version of that shiur. Cut it down in memory of a very, very good Jew, Joe Simon. Now, last night I get a call from my brother-in-law in Toronto, Mendel Rubinoff, says, Shalom, 15 minutes I'm missing from the shiur. 15 minutes I'm missing from the shiur. And it was one of my classics, one of my great shiurim. I was so upset. I was beside myself. I was walking around the house, ois mensch. And then suddenly I say, wait a minute. Tomorrow night I'm saying a shiur at the Simons. I'll video it. We'll put it up on the on our website, rabbishalomgold.com. There are 1,500 shiurim there. This one, Lezeichet Joe Simon, is going to go up on the... on my website. I didn't want you to think that wherever I go and whatever I say, I have to have it filmed for all time. I'm not like that. But this year, you may get the idea that this was a very special year, and I had terrible, terrible Akel Nefesh. So we're going to try and correct it now. But a word first. Bab Joe Olav Shalom and Salang Dion Phyllis, I visited South Africa, I don't remember, it's 3 or 4 times. I think the visit that we met the Simons was when they made the dedication of the new Mizrahi building and they started a kollel. And I was invited in to say a series of shiurim. So I think that's what it was. There was another time that I came to speak for a Yom Ha'atzmaut, a Yom Yerushalayim dinner, and anyway, they handed us over to these Simons, and they're going to take us away for a day or two. Whatever. Anyway, we had a wonderful one. They took us to a place called Kruger Park. And Phyllis had everything so prepared, meal by meal. We had gourmet meals while schlepping across the country to Kruger Park. It was a fascinating experience, and we've thanked them I don't know how many times. Thanks again. Taylor couldn't make it, I'll tell you later. Joe was an Oseik B'Tzorchei Tzibur. On one of my trips, I remember he took me to the airport and he was beside himself with anger. It seems that the news that day was that a former ambassador of Israel to South Africa had been visiting, Alon Liel, Zvei Linke Fies, Zvei Linke Hen, a leftist, shebel leftist. And he had made a comment to Nelson Mandela, we could use a fellow like you as a prime minister in Israel. Shandan acharpe, bushan achlima, to make fun of your own prime minister when you're out there in the wilds of Johannesburg. It was a shandan acharpe. Joe was upset, terribly upset. And he said, well, we're going to do something about it. By the way, the one thing, of course, is since that day, I have been following Alon Liel's performance, and he is not good news. I remember Joe told me then that when Menachem Begin was in South Africa once, and he was, of course, the great Baal Machloket with the great opponent to Ben-Gurion, never said a bad word about Ben-Gurion. And somebody asked him, but listen, you're his great opponent. So he said, at home in Eretz Yisrael, we can disagree. The moment I step out of the country, he is my prime minister. That was a... Joe told me that, and I remember. He was a wonderful, wonderful person. And it's a tribute to him. We didn't think we'd have a minion. Yeah, she was worried. She warned me earlier this week.
I prefer God to say maybe he's ever sick and think about coming tonight.
Yeah, because she Phyllis assumed that I only speak when I have 1,000 people there. So she wanted to tell me in advance that, you know, there may not be a lot of people there. My answer to her was, if it's going to be me, you, and the family, I'll be perfectly happy and I'll say this year. Is that what I said? That's what I said. Now this year. There's a mystery. There are two mysteries. I'm going to discuss the two mysteries. And by the way, the reason I'm speaking in English and not in Hebrew is because this has to go on to my Nebuch English website for all those people out there. Parsha Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu is on his way back home. He has already gone through a confrontation with Lavan, who pursued him. He crosses into Eretz Yisrael and he comes face to face with Esav. If that's not enough, there's a nocturnal, nighttime struggle with a Malach. When all of that is over, Dina is raped by Shechem. Problem follows problem. Finally, Yaakov Avinu arrives at Beit El, where 21, 22 years earlier, he had the dream of the ladder. And then the pasuk says the following, Vatoma Dvora Meineget Rivka, Dvora, the nurse of Rivka, died, Vatikover, and she was buried, Mitachat LeBeit El, at the bottom of the mountain below Beit El, Tachat HaAlon, under, well, either the plain or a tree, Vayikra Shimon, the name of the place, they called it Alon Bachut, the tree or the plain of Christ. Rashi and the Rambam both deal with the question, what's Devorah doing here? By the way, we never knew her by name. All we know is, in Parshat Chayesara, when Rivka agrees to go with Eliezer to marry Yitzchak, she took her nurse along with her. The nurse didn't have a name till now. Now we find out that her name was Devorah. And it seems that they cried. They cried a lot. What's so special about the nurse? The Ramban says, I'm sorry, but the Ramban says it, that, you know, they can't imagine that they were crying for this Alta Hazekena HaMeineket Hazal. Who was she? What was she? The Ramban is also troubled by this pasuk appears as an interruption. Hashem had been speaking to Yaakov, and Yaakov built him his Mizbech, and right after the pasuk about the death of Devorah, God is going to appear to him again and tell him that your name is no longer going to be Yaakov, you are going to be called Yisrael. So the Ramban doesn't know, why is this? This pasuk is an interruption. Tell me a story that an Alter Meinek has died. I mean, what? Who cares? Rashi, of course, asks the question as well, what is she doing here? What is the Meinek doing here? So Rashi says that when Rivka had told Yaakov to flee to Paran Aram, she told him, I will send and call for you. So who did she send to call for Yaakov? She sent the Meineket, Rivka. Dvorah. Good, you're listening? Good, good, good. Right? So here it is. It doesn't make, and even the Ramban says, it doesn't really make that much sense. If you want to send somebody to call Yaakov to come home, you send a young person, the Pony Express, riding hard across Mesopotamia. The Zekena, Devorah. It's a problem. So mystery number one, who's Dvorah? What's so special about Dvorah? Both Rashi and the Rambam bring that at the same time, Yaakov also was notified that his mother Rivka had died. So that there was a double period of mourning. They mourned for Dvorah, which we don't know yet why, and they mourned for Rivka. Incidentally, well, there's going to be a third. Soon, Rachel is going to die while giving birth to Binyamin. So that's mystery number one. There's a second mystery. I think the second mystery is even more mysterious. Rivka herself. Here comes this fellow Eliezer with 10 camels, and not only does she fetch water for him, but for all of his 10 camels. And we have a scene over there. She's running, she's fetching, she's filling the troughs, giving him to drink. Zaloif, Zakim, Zakait. She's a young girl. There are 10 strong, gesunte camel drivers that are just standing there.
It doesn't make sense.
And this is what Eliezer was looking for. The girl who's going to tell me, you should drink, and also your camels have the gift to drink, that's the one. It's excessive chesed. I would even, nobody will snitch on me, it's meshuga. Meshuga, let them go. Let them go get water for their camels. Another mystery. It says that when she finds out that this is Eliezer who's come from Eretz Canaan, from the house of Avraham, Vatoretz, she ran to tell Beit Ima. That's the word. Those are the words in Parashat Chayesorah. And Rashi says, what does it mean, the house of a mother? Because the women used to have a house of their own where they did their work. So therefore she went to Beit Ima. By the way, that does not answer the question of why couldn't they have simply said that she ran to tell her mother. Did she run to tell the house? And it says the fetish, she ran to tell Beit Ima. You tell the house, you tell your mother. Next, when finally the moment comes and Elias is ready to leave, Laman says, no, wait, let's wait, no. No, so he says, don't stop me. So they decide, Nishala, let's ask the girl, let's ask Rivka. Rivka gives a one-word answer unparalleled in Tanakh. Will you go with this man, in other words, go where? To a country she's never been, a chosid she's never seen, a family it seems she knows nothing about. And she said one word, Eilech, I will go. She's a young girl. Where does she have this conviction, this determination? She's going. And then when she arrives, the mystery becomes even greater. She arrives and Yitzchak brings her ha'ohela Sora Imo. He brings her to the tent of his mother Sarah. And Rashi says, he brings her into the tent and she is Sarah. Whatever took place during the days of Sarah, there was a cloud of glory over the tent. The candles remained lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. There was blessing in the dough. All of those things stopped when Sarah died. Rivka comes into the house, into the tent, and it's all as though Sarah never died. How does this happen? What does it mean? At the very beginning of Parshas Toldos, it says that Yitzchak married Rivka, the daughter of Bisrael, the sister of Lavan from Padan Aram, and Rashi says, we know all of this already. All of this information has been told. Why do we have to have this information told to us again? So Rashi says to point out to us that she was born in a community of evil, in a house of idolatry. Her brother was evil, and she never learned from their deeds. How did it happen? How indeed did it happen? What made Rivka? Two mysteries, one mystery explains the other. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam has an awesome sense of humor. You know who Dvorah was? Dvorah was one of the students of Avram and Sarah in Aram Naharayim. Avram and Sarah had made students. Avram made the great spiritual revolution. He taught them that there's a one God who created heaven and earth. One of those students of Avram and Sarah remained behind. And where's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's sense of humor? She gets a job in the house of Lavan and Besuel. And you know what's going on in the house of Lavan and Besuel? She's raising this little girl, Rivka, and telling this girl everything that she learned from Avraham Avinu and from Sarah Imenu in Paddan Aram. She's handing over, transferring all of the Torah of Avraham and Sarah is going from this Dvorah to Rivka. So we understand what's happening now. If she acts like Avraham, who when he's 99 years old, third day after his bris mila, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is there being mevaka chola, and there are three unidentified Arabs out on the road, and it's a very hot day. He runs, a leif, a kumt, a gate, a macht. He's giving. If he would have asked his local Orthodox rabbi, he would have told him, "Ligangale, take two akamol, call me in the morning." But that's not what Avraham does. Avram's chesed is excessive. Excessive. It might even be obsessive. And the only other person in Tanakh who has the same kind of gemilus chesed is Rivka. Why? Because she has learned all about Avram from Dvorah. When she comes into the tent of Sarah, you know what she is? She is Sarah. Everything returns. When she's asked, "Will you go with this man?" You know what I imagine? I have a fertile imagination. And sometimes it's good. It's very good. This Rivka must have told Dvorah. By the way, Dvorah is a secret agent. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam's agent planted in the house of Lavan and Besuel. The Rebbeinu was sitting up there and laughing. Here it is in the house. And she keeps telling Dvorah, "You've made of me a student of Avram and Sarah. Who will I ever be able to marry? There's nobody here in the world. Nobody in the world." And Dvorah told her, "Rivka, don't worry. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam will take care of you. Someday, you'll see." When she finds out that this fellow Eliezer, who she just met at the well, is from the house of Avram, she goes running to tell Beit Ima. You know why Beit Ima? Her mother wouldn't understand a thing. But sitting at the back while she's telling her mother, peeling potatoes in the background, you know who's there? Dvorah. She's telling Dvorah, "You told me all these years somebody's going to come. He came. He's here." Is there any question now why she says one word, Eilech? She's a student of Avram and Sarah. And here, this son is going to be her zivug. What greater zivug in the world could there be? So you know what Dvorah is? Oh wait, may it all sound like my fertile imagination. So I found number one, Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel says, Dvorah Meineges Rivka, the Targum Yonatan translated it as pedagogia, her pedagogue, her teacher. The Dasakeni Mibalitesis says that hundreds of years later, there was a prophetess by the name of Devorah who judged Israel while sitting under a tree, Tomer Devorah. And the Medrash says, you know whose tree that was? The tree where Devorah had been buried, down under Babel. So that's why I had once told this to somebody, and he Xeroxed me a few days later in a shiur of Rav Soloveitchik. He said, Devorah must have been a student of Avraham and Sarah. So you know what? You know what she is? I'll tell you what Devorah is. And this also is a beautiful, beautiful hesped that the Rav Soloveitchik gave on his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Heller. We say in Shon Esei al HaTzadikim al HaTzimim, V'al Kletas Sofrehem. Kletas Sofrehem. The remnants of the scribes. So he asked, what do you mean the remnants of the scribes? Why not say Sofrehem? What's Kletas Sofrehem? So he said the following. In every generation, there are people who span the generations, who connect one generation to the next. When I was rabbi in West Hempstead, there was an old man. Old man, he used to come every Shabbos to shul, sat not far from me. My father, Shalom, was living with me, and he referred to him as the old man. I think that the old man was younger than my father. Didn't make any difference. By my father, he was the old man. This old man had lived for a year in the home of the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chochma, the Meir Simcha Kaimitvinsk. When I saw that Jew, every time I saw him, I connected to the Or Sameach. He had seen in 1930, he had seen the Chofetz Chaim in the train station in Warsaw. I saw this old man, for him, me, he was the connection to the Chofetz Chaim. The fact is, in Tanakh we have a number of cases. When Klal Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, they had promised that they would take the bones of Joseph, but they didn't know where he was buried. So Moshe Rabbeinu called Serach Bat Osher. Serach Bat Osher, according to the Gemara, lived for hundreds of years. Serach Bat Osher connected hundreds of years. If you wanted to know what kind of a Seder Yaakov Avinu had in his house? Yes, Serach Bat Osher. You want them to know where they dug in Ashkenaz or Sfarad? Serach Bat Osher. You want them to know where Yosef was buried? Serach Bat Osher. The Chalom also brings the same thing with regard to the Navi Achi HaShiloni. Achi HaShiloni lived many, many years, hundreds of years. Devorah is the Colossus. You know what she's doing? Here's the most important thing. What is she doing in Beit El? And this is where we wind up before we wind up. What's she doing in Beit El? I'll tell you what she's doing in Beit El. She wasn't sent by Rivka to tell Yaakov to come home. She would have sent somebody else. Rivka feels that her days are numbered. There's one person left in the world that will be able to tell Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all these kinderlach, one person who will be able to describe to them the great-grandparents of Avraham and Sarah. If Devorah doesn't transmit this to them, they'll never know. They have to have a living witness who's going to tell them, you should know your great-grandparents made a revolution in this world. Rivka is desperate. Devorah, go! Find them! And the Rebbe Yishim Helsh, she finds them in Beit El. She spends 6 months there until she dies. And you know what she does during those 6 months? During those 6 months, she's telling them of Avraham and Sarah. I can imagine Yosef, well, he's the baby. Devorah, tell us again the story about Avram and the Kishon Ha'esh. What was the look on Nimrod's face when Avraham came out of the furnace? All the Torah and all the greatness, the splendor, the majesty of Avraham and Sarah, these children have to hear from one who lived it and one who knew it. That's why Rivka sends her there. That's why she's at Beit El. And that's why when she dies, they all cry. She was the one that connected four generations together. She took all these kinderlach and she connected them to Avram and Sarah. And you know what? That's why immediately after the pasuk of Atomos Devorah, you know what it says? God appears to Yaakov and says, you know, your name will no longer be Yaakov, your name will be Yisrael. You know why? Because this Devorah has created an entity called Klal Yisrael. She has brought all the generations together. She has made them all into one. She is the architect of a people. She created Klal Yisrael. You know what? Until she dies, she's nameless for two reasons. This is also in a different shir, as Soloveitchik said, ultimately, a real teacher has to remain anonymous. That means a real teacher removes one's own ego from the Talmud Rebbe relationship. The Rav wrote, remember, you know, that she wrote, do we know who the men of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol were? 120. How many are we know? 3, 4, 5? Because a teacher by Klal Yisrael, his ego is meaningless. It's not to him, it's the task. And also, she's a secret agent. She's there in the house of Lavan and the soil. She's undermining everything that they've taught their Yitzchala. And they don't know that this Yitzchala is going to become a mother of Klal Yisrael. That's what Devorah was. Devorah was a giant. She was not a zakena. She wasn't staman out the fray over there. She was a woman of such power and such greatness. I said before that I have a vivid imagination. I'm going to close with my imagination going wild. Devorah dies. She comes heavenward. You know who dies at the same time? Rivka. The first Rivka. Did you find them? Devorah, did you find them? Yes, I did, Rivka. I found them in Beit El. Did you tell them? I told them everything. Oh, Rivka, you have such beautiful einiklach. You should have a lot of machas. You have beautiful einiklach. One night it was a little cold. I put a sweater on Yosefel, so he should be warm. As the two of them are speaking there, a third figure appears. Rachel has died in childbirth, giving birth to Binyamin. She appears, who knows her? Rivka never saw her daughter-in-law. Ah, but in the last 6 months, Devorah did. Devorah introduces Rachel to Rivka. And Rachel says, Shvigir, Mazel Tov, you have another einikel. I just gave birth to Binyamin. You know what's taking place over there? The generations all coming together. This Devorah is nameless until the moment she dies. You know what she is? She's the spy who's come in from the cold. She has done her job, and her job was building a Klal Yisrael. That's it. I hope it came out.